Hey, what's up, guys? Langosta and JoJo here.
How's it?
Ladies and gentlemen, today it's going to be a fun show. We're going to be talking about shotguns.
Shotguns.
So JoJo,
that sounded good. Wait, hold up. Let's pause this. Let's hear that sound again.
Yes, sir.
Oh, dang.
That is the sound of pure, beautiful Remington magic.
That is a great sound, and the microphone picks it up perfectly.
Yeah. This is the Wingmaster 870.
Mine doesn't make that noise.
So JoJo and I are going to go on a hunt to Lone Pine, California.
I can't wait, man.
And we got the shotguns out.
You've been talking about this hunt before, and I've club went on it last year, and I didn't have the opportunity to go, so I'm super stoked to be heading out to Lone Pine right here in California, beautiful California. Not a lot of people consider Lone Pine as a hunting destination, but for those who want to go pheasant hunting, there's a nice little spot there.
Guys, hunting at Lone Pine, it is one of the most scenic, beautiful places to hunt. Last year, we had snow-capped mountains. And this year should be no different. It's going to be freaking amazing. But today we're talking about
shotguns.
Yes, sir. So we're going to be talking about our gear, what we're going to take.
Yep.
We're totally stoked about going. So
super stoked, man.
So let's get into it. JoJo, let's give the viewers a little bit of backstory, right?
Okay. Because
there's a little backstory here. There's a little bit of drama, all right?
There's always a backstory for a hunting story.
Always. So this is our third attempt this year to go to Lone Pine Pheasant Club.
Third time's the charm.
So the first time, I had a very low turnout, and it was the day, I think that we ended up having a conflict because we were electing our board of directors.
Okay.
At the Redondo.
Always a fun time.
Yeah. So we couldn't do it that time. So we had to postpone it. And plus I was hoping, since we had a low, I think we had like two people or something like that. And last year we had 11, 12.
So it'll be a lone hunt in Lone Pine.
That's right. Yeah. Not a whole lot of fun. Lone hunt in Lone Pine. So we postponed it for, I think, 2 weeks, something like that, hoping that we could pick up a few more hunters. Honestly, I thought if we got 4 or 5 people, we'd be good.
Perfect.
And you couldn't go to that,
that
second date, right?
Nope.
Last minute, we're like the Wednesday before the hunt, and I get a call from the owner, super, super cool guy, the guy that owns Lone Pine Pheasant Club. And he's like, hey, guys, got you ready for Saturday. And I had to go, sir. I'm sorry. I have to decock. I have to unload the shotgun, and I got to cancel. I felt like such a. So I don't like being the flaky guy that flakes out. So I think we had like 1-2 people going, and I was like, what, you know, and then it had just snowed or rained. God knows what that field was going to look like.
And we've had a lot of that this past winter, whatever it was, La Nina or El Nino. It's just kind of sucked the whole weekends. Yes. Saturdays and Sundays have had like the worst weather.
Why couldn't it rain during the week?
I don't know.
Anyway, so we're screwed. Anyhow, I told the dude that we weren't going to go, and you know, he was pretty bummed.
Yeah.
And I honestly, as the words came out of my mouth, I was like, God, I'm on. Anyway, so he was a good sport about it. And so 3 weeks pass or 4 weeks pass, something like that. Because originally we were going to go in March, the beginning of March. Mm-hmm. Like we ended up booking, our booking is for the 19th and the 20th of April. We're going to hunt Saturday because that's your day off.
Yep.
Your Friday, Saturday off. So we're going to go up there.
We have work lives, don't we?
We do. I wish we
were not that type of show where it's like, every day of the week is this.
Remington, if you'd like to please support the show and load up our shotguns so that I don't have to go to work, that would be awesome.
I think we could copyright that sound effect. So just may have a sound sponsor coming up.
When you think about like a racking shotgun, it's a Remington 870. That's what it is. So that is the sound, kids, of freedom.
Yeah.
Long story short, the third time's a charm. So we're going to go no matter what. It doesn't matter if there's a hurricane. It doesn't matter if, you know, we got bird flu and all the birds are dead. I'm going to shoot them again.
Yeah. And it all worked out because my wife is usually working on Friday. So, you know, when you told me about it and it was like, oh, the 19th and 20th, it was one of those moments where the date comes out. Then I go to my phone to see what's going on that weekend. And it was like, oh, babe, are you off on the 19th? Yeah. Oh. And then I let that pause go until she enters the question, right?
Why?
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 Oh, well, you know, I was talking with Langost and...
He brought out the shotgun.
And we could go hunting on the 19th and 20th. And then the answer was, beautifully, go right ahead. And I was nice. Like, oh, I love you, babe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay, man. So we're going. We're going to go. And we're going. Some gear. We got some gear here. We're going to play with the gear. So I've already kind of let the horse out of the barn, as they say. So this is my childhood shotgun. My dad gave me this shotgun when I was, I don't know, somewhere between 9 and 12. Uh-huh. I remember getting the shotgun and like putting the butt up against the truck because I was scared of the recoil. So I'd slam the butt on the truck. I think it left a couple little dents in the rear fender.
I wonder if that would happen with the Cybertruck that got...
Oh, well, we're going to have to ask Elon if we can go over there and
test it out.
You know what? Is that actually happened?
Test it out on his...
Is that the first gun that you were ever given?
No, this wasn't the first gun. It was the first shotgun.
Okay.
For sure, first shotgun. And my dad, you know, this has got the scars of my dad's gunsmithing because he cut it because I was too small. Mm-hmm. So eventually I grew out of it. I needed to add some length.
That's what she said.
He added the pad, and then we've got some weird, his weird gunsmithing stuff here. It's got the bluing worn out of it, the bluing worn out of the center here.
So that's like AKA character.
Yeah. 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 I wouldn't mess with it at all. Like I wouldn't refinish it or anything. And I've killed rabbits and a bunch of birds.
What gauge are you rocking?
This is 12. This is a 12. This is a model eight, a proper 870 Wingmaster from probably the late 70s.
Okay.
Something like that. Like late 70s, maybe 80s. But
so that's what you're going to be bringing with you this weekend.
Yeah. I'm going to bring that, and I'm going to bring my pretty boy gun.
The preppy. We're going to have to talk about this gear that we're rocking, too.
Oh, the merch.
Look at that. That's new, man. Guys, the merch.
The merch.
The merch. Look at that.
We got merch. We got merch.
Bam.
We got merch. It's called branding that I learned in MBA school.
We can't have enough of it right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, guys, hey, by the way, that's a good reminder. If you haven't done so, please make sure you like and subscribe. Please hit the little bell and not only follow, but you know, write some comments in there. Tells YouTube and Facebook.
That, and we reply.
Yeah, we'll reply to every comment. So
yep.
Even the knuckleheads.
Oh, all those right. Are the best ones.
All right. So this shotgun here is actually, I'll tell you what. Why don't you talk about yours?
Okay.
And then we'll switch back over here and tease it.
Not a problem.
Because there is a story behind this shotgun too.
Okay. So I've got a minor story. So this is actually my first shotgun ever. So growing up, I never was introduced into hunting kind of as I explained in episode one. If you guys haven't watched it, go ahead and watch it. But I never grew up hunting. So this was my first shotgun. I refer to this as the Bass Pro Black Friday Special.
It is.
It's not the special. It's the special.
I believe it is very special. Yes.
This one was picked up maybe about 4 years ago. And it is a Stoeger semi-automatic M3000. And it'll shoot 2 3/4 along with 3-inch. And it's never done me wrong. Yeah. I've taken this puppy everywhere that I've needed to go, whether it's quail hunting, pheasant hunting, and this is what I'm packing this week. And it's kind of the workhorse. It's not the most expensive shotgun, and it's not the cheapest shotgun. It is the Black Friday Special. So
that's a lot
love
of
this
gun. That's a
lot
of gun.
Have a lot of fun for it.
And I like the fact that you put a sling on it. A lot of guys, they don't put a sling on their shotguns.
Yeah, I think it makes me feel cool.
Well, but it's very practical, especially if you go on a duck hunt. I mean, there's freaking water. Anyway.
No, when I'm walking around, this thing's slinged. And then once the dogs, I see some action, you know, she comes out and it gets out of the way and I'm ready to rock.
Right on.
So loving this gun.
Yeah. So you're semi-auto. You've got some adjustable chokes on there, right?
Yep. So since we're going to go pheasant hunting, definitely put the modified choke on there. Kind of give me the best shot, best spread, best speed. So I got the modified choke on there and I can't wait to go. Shoot some pheasant, man. Yeah. I've never gone pheasant hunting. So I've seen pheasant. So when I was hunting on Maui, at an undisclosed location. Not only were there axis deer, goats, it was literally Jurassic Park, but there was a ton of pheasants there. Okay. Didn't have my gun, had my bow, tried to take a 55-yard pheasant shot with my arrow. Okay. Didn't work out how I wanted it to. So seen lots of pheasants, haven't killed a pheasant, but I think this weekend with my Stoger, along with going out with you guys and a couple of dogs, a wire hair pointer, along with a wire hair griffon, I think we might get lucky.
I think so, man. We're going to get some birds for sure. Refer your attention to
the pretty boy,
the beautiful world of Beretta. You know, the Beretta has these fancy, they have these fancy shows where it's like, they think it's a Ferrari or something, right?
So when you talk about this gun,
it
kind of seems like you need an accent, bro.
This is the Beretta. I don't know what fucking
that actually is. Wasn't that bad.
This is the Beretta. It comes with the marinara sauce and its own Parmigiano Romano. All right, sorry, Italian listeners, please don't fucking. So this is the Silver Pigeon. This is kind of like, this is a working man's nicer shotgun. All right, so
that's nice gun, man.
Yeah, it's not like a $8,000 shotgun.
It's $7,999.
No. I bought this for my dad. I think it was for his birthday.
Okay.
I'm like stoked, right? Look, at the time, I think it was like $1,800 or $1,500, something like that. This is probably 20 years ago when $1,800 was a lot of money, like a lot of money. So I get this gun for him, and it's got real nice wood, and it's got a nickel finish and a little bit of, you know, man-made, machine-made engraving, but it looks cool, right?
It still looks great.
Yeah. This is an old shotgun. So I get this and I bust it on and I bought it like a nice case and everything. He looks at it and he's like, whoa. He's looking at it. He's like, it's really light. And he's looking at it. He's like, whoa, it's got a gold trigger. It's got nice wood. It's got engraving. And then he breaks the action open. It's like, what's this? I'm like, it's a 20 gauge, Pops. A 20 gauge. A 20 gauge. What am I going to do with a 20 gauge? We're going to go hunt some quail, Pops. We're going to go get some pheasant or something. No. You need a 12 gauge. My dad caused me childhood trauma at that point. Massive. What is that show? Like, anyway, it was massive childhood trauma at that point because he totally deflated my bubble.
You had this whole vision of, oh, son, thank you.
Yeah. I'm thinking like, you know, trumpets playing, my dad in massive gratitude, all that kind of shit.
Getting ready for the hug, like the embrace.
Squat. I got 12 gauge. It's not a 12 gauge. Bring over this dirty boot over here that I got here. That's what I want. You know, I guess he saw my expression and he was like, well, you know, it's really nice. And I'm like, I know it's pretty nice. Give me the gun back. Thank you. And I showed him how it worked, all that stuff, and I took it apart and I put it in the case, and then I took it the fuck home.
Okay.
Yeah. He didn't get the gun. He didn't get the gun. So anyway, that was the drama behind this gun. So I've had it ever since.
So did you replace that gun with another one?
No. We get one try. I get one try of kindness, and if it didn't work out, it didn't work out. So I mean, he got ammo from that point on. I mean, that was the other gifts that I got. That's it. So in his defense, a gun is not a good gift unless you know that they've been coveting that gun, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you've been talking about getting a 9mm CZ.
CZ, yeah.
Right? So if you talk your wife's ear off, right? Like you just jab the CZ-75 with a this and this and this. And, and by the way, I would love to have this. I've been doing that. If that magically happens, it happens to appear during Christmas time, you won't be disappointed, right?
No. But not at all.
We just talked very, very vague terms about going bird hunting because I'd just gotten a lab at the time and et cetera, et cetera. So a shotgun, a rifle, whatever, is a very, very intimate thing to buy. It's a very specific thing, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes a bad gift unless you know that they want it.
So I got a question for you. Yeah. So what made you go for the 20 versus the 12?
Well, we had a bunch of 12s. So he's got this, the Remington in the 1100, right? Which is a semi-auto. We had this one at the time. And I think we probably had another couple of 12 gauges, but we didn't have a small bird gun, right? And look, I've shot a lot of rabbits. So it doesn't look good when you shoot them real close. Like it does a lot of damage. You shoot a little quail with that and it's going to be, you skillet shot a couple quail. It's gonna
right.
Be, it's gonna be parts. So I thought, you know, they had this, it had just come out, and I was really stoked. I mean, they had, I think they had a 12 gauge also. They still make this gun, this shotgun, by the way.
I bet they do. It's why not?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not too much more expensive than what I bought it for.
So you went with the 20 gauge to, in yeah. today's world, diversify.
I think so. I think you got to diversify your precious metals. Right. So I love it. To me, even though my dad never, I don't think my dad's ever shot this gun. Well, he maybe have shot it, but he never hunted with it.
I'm sure you've shot it.
I've shot it and I've hunted a lot of stuff with it. And I love shooting. It's real fast. Very fast to mount and swings real nice. So
the 20 gauge is good too. For bird hunting, that 20 gauge is nice.
Sure. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Last year, I hunted with this at Lone Pine and I used a 7 shot. It was way too light with the steel.
Wow.
With the steel. It was just way too light. Those birds got those little plumes and they had to be brought down by the 12 gauge. So, but you know, luckily we had a lot of backup there. It was a firing squad. I think we had 5-6 people per field. So shooting at the bird was not the problem. Oh, yeah. It was like Beirut. Yeah. Lot heavy.
We're going through the countries on this show, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, we offend everybody equally in good spirits with no meanness at all.
Yeah, that 7-shot, 20 gauge is like sparring gloves. It's practice hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It could probably be legal in the off season.
For sure. So anyway, I'm going to take this. I got some shot for it. I got some 5-shot.
Okay.
So hopefully that'll be better.
You know? So talking about 5-shot, whatever shot, 7-shot. So here in California, we obviously have a law that prevents us from shooting lead, right?
That's right.
We have to go steel. So when you go steel, yeah. whether you're in California or any other location, one of the things that you have to consider is the fact that steel is going to be lighter than lead. And although the shot might be the same size in diameter or what have you, it's going to fly different. It's going to hit different. So that's something to take into consideration.
Oh, yeah. And you have to pattern your shotgun to see what it does.
Yep.
Different loads, even though the same shot size will pattern differently. So you got to kind of test it on paper and see yep. what you got. Yeah, for sure.
So I'm definitely going to be rocking 5-shot steel Kent 1400 feet per second when we go to Lone Pine for the pheasant hunt.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that because it's got a lot of velocity for it.
It does.
For the shot size. So I don't need the velocity to cycle my gun. You'll need it because you're a semi-auto, right?
Yep.
But I have the hammer here and pump action will cycle pretty much anything. But I am looking forward to getting the distance, increasing my distance.
Right. Just in case.
Just in case I miss. Can you imagine me missing? Man. It can. Man. It does happen. We got the 20 gauge. I got the 12. And what other gear are you going to take?
So I'm looking at this as just packing light. This is going to be a fun trip. It's a quick weekend trip, right? So we're going to be heading up on a Friday, coming home on a Saturday. But the fun part about it is living here in Southern California, you can do that.
Sure.
Especially in Lone Pine. It's going to take us, when we're planning to leave, about 3.5 hours to get up there and then 3.5 hours to get back. So looking to a fun weekend. Talking about that shot, I ended up because all I've got, I was stocked. When I opened up my closet, I was like, okay, where's my 5-shot? Where's my 5-shot? And guess what? No 5-shot. So what did I need to do? I needed to go down to the store and pick up some 5-shot. So I took some phone calls. Big 5 did not have it. But then when I called Turner's, they said, yeah, we got some 5-shot left over. So ended up picking up these Kent Upland fast steel, precision steel. And again, these are the 5-shots, 1400 feet per second. Good round. Used them before in the past. I use a lot of Kent cartridges.
Oh, really?
Okay. They've worked really well. So okay. Really looking forward to using this. And then also too, I picked up an Amazon special because when I first started hunting and we were hunting quail and going out there in the forest, like I just picked up the simple hunting vest, but I thought to myself, you know what? I need to upgrade.
All right.
Some of my buddies around me were upgrading. So when that happens, you obviously get that.
Absolutely.
Oh, what do I need to get? So
you got FOMO. You get FOMO. FOMO.
Look at this. This is going to get blood on it this weekend, along with some feathers. This is a nice little upland game bird hunting vest purchased by a small store called Amazon. You ever hear of it?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Rumors of it. They deliver.
They deliver. And you know what? Their delivery is fast, but this is the Tenzing bag. It's an upland game hunting bag. I like the features of it because as I'm out in the field, I'm a packer, man. I'm a hoarder while I'm out there in the field. I will sacrifice and put weight on and make it more difficult. Then I got this cool little backpack pocket. I got a water bladder holder. So, you know, some guys that are out there, they're going to want to go really, really light. I'm sacrificing the ultralight for comfort because I'm going to be out there for hours and I don't mind the weight. If anything, I kind of consider it more of a, you know, workout. So this is a great bag, fits great. Going to be bringing it out to Lone Pine, trying it out for the first time. Hopefully by the end of the hunt, it's not as bright orange as it currently is.
You need some blood on there.
I need some blood, man. I need some spots on these. Some
baptize it in blood.
So that's all I'm going to be rocking. And then just having fun, man.
Yeah.
Simple.
Cool. I can't find my game bag. I tore up my trailer in the garage and I can't find it. So I'm hoping that I'll find it before the hunt. I've got just a real nice old school wax bag. I got two little ammo pouches on the side and a game bag in the back, which actually there was one bird that I wasn't wearing the bag. I think I let somebody else from the club wear it. And we shot a pheasant and the pheasant was stunned. It was alive, resurrected like Lazarus and hopped out of the damn bag and ran. And then I had to bring out the hammer. Had to bring out the hammer.
No, wait, hold on. Rewind this story. So you had this pheasant in the bag and it jumped out and ran?
It did. So when you say this, we got it in the bag. That means it's certain, right?
It's all good.
Right. It's in the bag.
That's where the term comes from. Hunting and fishing sport.
Well, not so. Not so. If you shoot a bird with this lead-free ammo, sometimes the bird just gets stunned. And this damn bird came out of the bag. He just came out of the bag, started running around. Now, I'll be honest with you. Everybody saw the bird hop out of the bag and run. It was like three of us. And everybody was freaking shocked that the bird resurrected like Lazarus and did the old skedaddle in the middle of the thing. God. But luckily, boom, 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 and the bird went back in the bag.
Nice.
A little bit more colored. Heavily peppered. Pre-spiced.
So I could not imagine seeing that.
It was a freak show. Look, it was so crazy that the dogs didn't even chase after it. The dog was shocked.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the dog didn't bark and was like, yo, what the fuck?
The dog's like, is anybody seeing the effing pheasant running down the... Yeah, so I'm glad the dog didn't chase him because I did shoot him twice.
Right. This show is going to have to be marked explicit.
It may
have more shots than we've ever heard before.
Yeah. Guys, what's your favorite shotgun? We want to hear from you guys. What are you guys shooting right now? What load do you like? Do some of you hand load your own loads?
Yeah.
And what are you guys having some success with out there?
I got a question for you. So the shotgun is kind of like the workhorse of your arsenal, right?
Yeah.
When you go hunting, the shotgun is the gun you're always going to use.
Sure.
There's a couple of thoughts out there for the guys that probably have been hunting for a long while. And I'm asking you because you know guns way more than I know guns. Okay. So the guys that have been hunting for a long while, when they're going to go purchase a shotgun, mm-hmm. they're looking at, you know, the brand that they've been loyal to. Mm-hmm. They've been looking at the specs. They've been looking at this. They've been looking at that. But for the people that are just getting into hunting and purchasing their first shotgun, kind of like myself, I went with the Black Friday special.
Sure.
And one of the things that like I've kind of heard is like it's a shotgun. So you don't have to go that much in terms of like, oh, let's drop $1,500 on a gun. Let's drop $1,000 on a gun, $2,000 on your gun. Yeah. What are your thoughts in terms of shotguns and, you know, people who are purchasing them to use them as their workhorse to go quail hunting, to go pheasant hunting, to go duck hunting?
Yeah.
Are you recommending if somebody just got into it and we had a new guy at the table that said, I'm going to buy my first shotgun because I'm going to go hunting. What are you going to say? Are you going to say invest the money? Or are you going to say, because like from an archery perspective, you know, I tell the person, whatever you can put down now. Cause that thing's going to last you for more than a few years. And the moment that you shoot something, you're going to want to upgrade right away when you get your first bow. So when you're talking shotguns, are you going to go on the lower level, mid-level, high level? What would you recommend?
I think that's a great question. Okay, so unless you're going geese hunting, right, where you're going to pay a lot of money and you need to get distance, like real far distance.
Right.
So not that scenario. Your regular run-of-the-mill planted pheasant hunt or maybe quail or chucker here in California. Right? Yeah. I would say just get the shotgun that you can afford. Eventually, if you want to get something, you know, over the top, a real nice Beretta or one of these other European brands, cool. I'll tell you what, I would hate to take a super expensive gun up and down some of the ravines that you're going to climb. You're going to drop it. You're going to get rained on. It's going to be bad. So with that shotgun, this shotgun, it's a hammer. I call it a hammer. I'm joking around about it, but I'm not worried that it's going to get a ding or that, you know, I clean them and it's functioning good and, yeah, and all that stuff. But short of that, I want it to fit you good as an individual shooter, right? So if you're taller, you got kind of lanky arms and stuff, make sure you get fitted. That is important. So your length of pull should be properly fitted. If you're the average adult male, let's say you're somewhere between 5'8 and 5'10, you can definitely get something over the counter, right? Mm-hmm. So a Browning is a great gun. Remington 870. If you want to go with a semi-auto, you can go with a Stoger. You can go with a, you want to spend a few bucks, you can go with a Benelli or a Beretta.
Right.
I think the Beretta A400 is still a very popular gun and very light gun. And I think it's in the mid, like probably $1,500 or something like that. If you want to stay under $1,000, any of the Brownings will be at $800. If you got real budget, you can probably pick up an 870, a used 870 for like $450.
Nice.
You know, and you can't go wrong with it.
And like I said, I bought this gun for Bass Pros on Black Friday, yeah, and it was cheap. And I was like, it's worked.
Yeah.
I've loved it. It's done me no wrong.
It cycles good.
I've gone on tons of quail hunts. Yeah. I've gone on turkey hunts, yeah, and it's never failed me, man. Yeah. I love it.
That barrel length, the high-vis sight, and you know, we could do a review on it sometime. That whole setup, it's for the money.
It goes, man.
I mean, if you're talking about a comparable feature-wise Beretta, you're talking like probably maybe $2,000, yeah, or a little bit over $2,000.
And for the new hunter, I'd say whatever gun makes you feel like a badass, yeah, is the right gun.
And to get out there and go, because if you have it, you'll go. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So just get started. Don't get caught up in like the spending on the fancy schmancy stuff. You know, you don't need to have just one. You can get another one later.
Right. So kind of talking about the place that we're going to, Lone Pine Pheasant Hunt. I've driven past Lone Pine. We've gone to Mammoth a couple of times. And obviously as you go to Mammoth, coming from where we're coming from, you've got to drive past Lone Pine. It's a beautiful place. So to kind of talk about, because you've been there before, yeah, just kind of the setting, like set the scene of how beautiful of a hunt this is going to be.
When you hunt at Lone Pine, you're going to be hunting in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada mountains. And at the time that you'll go, well, during the season, I think it opens in January. It could be a little cold. Could be a little cold if you go in January. Okay. I think the best time probably
What's the elevation? Like 4,000 feet? No, 3,500?
It's more than that. It's probably about 3,500. Because the base elevation at Mammoth is 8,000.
Okay.
So it snows there commonly. So it's probably maybe 6. But don't quote me on that. So I'm sure somebody.
I mean, we went from 35,000 to, or 3,500 to 6,000. So we got a good range.
In short, it's very common to have snow there if you go in January. If you go in February, March, you're going to get probably the sweet spots, probably the beginning of March and February, something like that. Right.
Right.
And look, a little bit of snow on the ground is okay too.
You know? That's fine,
it's
man.
It's okay. Test out the boots and the dogs will be loving life. No ticks, no heat. They're going to be nice and cool. They can cool off pretty quickly. It's probably the primo time is to go the end of February.
And Lone Pine's like just such a cool town as you're driving, yeah, through it. If nobody's ever been, it's just one of those towns that you've been driving on a road for hundreds of miles. There's nothing around you. And then all of a sudden, welcome to Lone Pine, yeah, where the population actually has a number. And it's like, oh, okay. And then, yeah, you've got a restaurant here, a restaurant there, grab a beer here, grab a beer there.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful little town that if you're driving by, stop by. It's going to be worth it.
You should totally have lunch there, support the local businesses. You know, if you're going to Mammoth, oh, yeah, definitely stop in Lone Pine and get some bathroom break and stuff like that. There's also a, so this is for the viewers, you should know that there's a few places to sleep there. So if you don't have a trailer, you don't want to camp, obviously it's going to be pretty cold if you go during the primo times, you can definitely stay at the local Quality Inn or one of the other hotels there. They're very reasonably priced, and it's not far at all to the field.
And it's also known for, you know, just as we talk about, you know, rifles, rods, and broads as the Outdoors Podcast, it's a great hiking site. So
absolutely.
Alabama Hills, all you need to do is Google Alabama Hills in California, and you'll see a ton of great hiking spots and camping spots that people can go to. And then you have Mount Whitney Portal. So Mount Whitney, if you ever thought about hiking the largest or the highest peak in the lower 48, believe it or not, it's right here in California in the Sierras. Yeah. So Mount Whitney's right there.
It's a beautiful
place. It's accessible from Lone Pine.
Even if you bring your spouse and they're not going to hunt, if they hang out at the lodge and just check out the views and stuff, it's cool. It's real cool.
We'll have to do that.
It's a great place to go. Full facilities that give you lunch, you know.
That's awesome.
Cool. Look, we're not getting paid. We didn't get a discount, none of that. We're just one of my favorite places to go.
Yeah, this is what we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just go. And just blast.
Lock and load.
Oh, man. I may have to use that just to make the sound.
Maybe just record it on your phone as a ringtone.
Yeah. That's going to be my text message. So whenever I get a text, it's going to be like, The other thing that I do want to add is that we've got some friends coming along, and you know, it's not friends with benefits, but it's friends with dogs.
In we'll a phrase very it as that. Heterosexual way. Friends with benefits. We've talked two of our buddies to going up there. One of them is going to hunt and the other one's going to just go up there and run his dog.
Yeah.
So we got a Gaffon.
Yeah.
And a wired hair pointer.
We do.
Koopa and the Ziva. Princess. The Princess Ziva.
Princess Ziva. I'll tell you a funny story about Princess Ziva. So when Ziva was 9 months old, and I was about to say 9 months years old, but that's just the language coming out of me. But when Ziva was 9 months old, Ziva actually, she was an elk hunting dog, believe it or not.
Oh.
It was crazy. So my brother-in-law, first time ever putting in for an elk tag in Arizona, draws an elk tag.
Right. I remember.
So we were going hunting in Arizona for a week and a half, and we invited Fish out to the journey, and he brought Princess Ziva, and she went hunting with us. It was kind of amazing. You know, she didn't sniff any out, but she was around, and she's 3 years old right now. Yeah. I can't believe it.
She's a middle-aged diva.
She is.
So we call her Princess Ziva. Because she is the most pampered freaking hunting dog you're ever going to see. Misha, a.k.a. Fish, dresses her up in her little hunting gear and does all the little razzly-dazzly hair stuff. Because she's got, she's a Gaffon, so she's got a lot of facial hair.
Beautiful dog.
No, she's a great-looking dog.
Yeah.
And anyway, she's come a long way.
Yeah. You know?
I didn't think she was going to be as good of a hunting dog as she is, actually, to be honest with you.
She's been great.
She has been great. She's a real sweet dog.
And Cooper's awesome, man.
Cooper.
He's a show dog. He's a movie star.
He is a show dog. He's probably the tallest pointer I've seen. Yeah.
And he gets his workout in a water treadmill. I don't know if you've seen that.
I saw that rig that Chuck did for me.
But I've never seen that before. And a water treadmill for a dog.
We should do a hashtag Princess Ziva.
Yeah. I think Fish already has one set up. So we'll have to post that link to the hashtag.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a little bit of fun, guy. We give Fish a hard time about that.
Yeah. We're stoked to have them coming along with us.
No, we're lucky, privileged, that we have some nice dogs.
We've got Brian coming with us, too.
We're kidnapping Brian from the office and snagging him into the field. He's like, yeah, hey, boss, we're gonna stay in the trailer. What's going on? Like, no, Brian, you get to have indoor plumbing this time. We're going to stay in the hotel.
We got some quality.
Yeah. You don't have to share a room with me and hear me snore and fart, so. You got your own room. You're all set.
So we've got our friends. We've got dogs. We've got Cooper. We've got Ziva. What if you don't have a dog? What can Lone Pine Pheasant Club do for you?
Oh, well, that's a good question. They can definitely set you up with a dog handler team.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, if you don't have a dog. I think he mentioned it was like $150.
Okay.
So that's not bad. Not bad. Considering that the training for a field dog is like $8,000-$9,000.
And you don't have to take it home, take the ticks off.
Yeah, no, it's a tick-free situation. It's a tick-free and a bath-free situation. So for those of you who don't know, your hunting dog can get a little dirty in the field.
Yeah, I'm sure they can.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So anyhow, yeah, that's how you can handle that.
Okay.
So they definitely have. They got great resources there. I mean, hell, they provide a shower for you if you get a little dirty, you know.
That's awesome.
In the field. There's like a full setup there. You can take a shower.
I've been Googling it and it looks like a prime spot. Also, too, when you guys came back last year, something else that I was really impressed with is that when you guys ended up throwing your, you know, your game in the freezer, everything looked so professional.
Oh, you bring up a good point. Yeah.
It looked beautiful.
That is the best money we spent. Like, I can't imagine plucking 20, you know, 20 pheasants or whatever it is.
Right. That's like a jail sentence.
That's just too much work. So they did a great job. We just have them pluck them and gut them and pluck them and put them in the freezer bags with the little, the kind of the blood soak fabric thing in there.
Yeah.
They're professionally done.
Tampon?
Yeah. It's a meat tampon. Not very appetizing, but it definitely works. The whole bird, you can get a breasted too, but I mean, I figure you lose so much. So, hey, by the way, we're going to do a farm to table. We're going to do a cookout. We'll post some pictures.
Yeah, we'll do something. I'll tell you a pheasant story and why I'm happy to go pheasant hunting. I've never been pheasant hunting, but I have taken my oldest daughter, Kira, on a pheasant hunt. So it was a part of the Compton Hunting and Fishing Club YEP program, which is the youth enhancement program. Yeah. And they have a pheasant hunt. And I was super happy because it takes quite a bit for a dad to take his daughter on her first hunt. That's and awesome. I loved going, super excited, used the 20 gauge and we went up to, I forget what it was called, but it was part of Tejon. It was a desert.
Oh, Tejon Ranch.
Yeah. It was a part of the like desert pheasant club. She went out there. She was a trooper. We took her out. She's never shot a gun before. Empty clip. Loaned me his 20 gauge semi-automatic and we went to LA Clay's one weekend right before the hunt and got to see her shoot. Nice. She got to shoot clays, had a great time. She was hitting on the target. So I was super stoked, right? I was like, oh, I'm the best dad in the world. This is going to be so much fun. So we took her out there and she had a great time. And sure enough, you know, the dogs flushed a pheasant and, you know, she killed one. And I was like, wow, she shot one down. And I was like, man, that was like one of the best daddy moments
ever.
I was like, oh my goodness, take 1,000 different pictures of like, it was just amazing. So I'm stoked to be going coming up.
Cool. Well, hey, so are you telling me your kid shot a pheasant before you did?
Yeah, she did.
No kidding.
She sure did. Now it's time for the youngest one, but that one is going to be a little bit harder to get to go out hunting with. The older one's a little bit more laid back. The younger one, man, she bosses me around.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe she could be the dog handler. You'd be like,
hey. Yeah. Before I record this show, I had to ask her, hey, is it okay if I go?
All right. Right on, man. So let's see what happens when we go next weekend and hopefully we'll shoot some birds, have a good time.
Yeah.
Nobody gets peppered this time.
Definitely.
There's a side story for, a quail hunt issue.
We'll avoid that.
Yeah.
But
we'll make fun of it.
But we just want to say thank you. Thank you very much to everybody that's been watching our podcast, following our podcast. We are on YouTube at Rifles, Rods, and Broads. Please like and subscribe. But also, too, if you're not the watcher type and you're the listener type, so if you're going to the 405, just go to your favorite podcast stream. We are on Apple Podcast. We are on Spotify. So if you want to listen and not look, just head on over there and like and subscribe there as well. And we'll be here, man.
Right on.
We're doing this, Langosta.
We're going to do this, kids. We're going to do this. Let's lock and load. See you next time.
Aloha.
Bye.
Ciao.